What's Trending.
Number one on What's Trending is we are at the Red Friday tailgate here with Community America Credit Union here at their Olathe Branch, 135th and Black Bob. The tailgate goes for one more hour. He's got plenty of time to still head on out here. They've got free lunch. You can also take some photos with Chiefs cheerleaders and KC Wolf. Also some Chiefs gear through the Community America Credit Union Big ATM. Can still win some Chiefs tickets to Monday night's game against the Saints as well. So we're having a great time. We've met a lot of listeners. It's pretty cool to see some of you guys out here. It's been a fun week for us. We've been at Jefferson's a couple times.
We're all over the place.
Here at Community America Credit Union. The food truck is very, very popular.
I know. I want to get over there. It looks so good.
Yeah, I don't know if we're going to be able to squeeze that in the next break or not, but we'll definitely have to move our way over there, I think. That's for sure. But if you're in the area, come on by during your lunch break and grab some lunch yourself and, of course, have a chance to win some swag.
Next up on What's Trending, local college football coming up this week in number 9, Missouri, the big one, at number 25, Texas A&M. So a huge SEC game tomorrow at 11 a.m. Kansas will take on Arizona State for a 7 o'clock kickoff as well. I think K-State's off this weekend.
That's right.
But still pretty massive game for Missouri. They win that one. They've still got Alabama left on the schedule, which is obviously a very difficult game. A couple more difficult games. Getting the one in A&M at College Station, that would make you actually start thinking Missouri's going to the college football playoff.
I think, based off of that performance then, what it would take to win at College Station tomorrow, I don't know how you could not say they're a lock to make it. I understand that they couldn't lose three games down the stretch, but like if you're able to go to College Station where you're an underdog and get a win, it's their first road game of the year, though. I do want to see what Missouri looks like on the road for the first time. They've played their first four games all at home.
So weird.
The scheduling is kind of weird how that worked out. Next up on What's Trending, of course, is tomorrow, Royals, Yankees, ALDS, right here on 96.5 The Fan. Michael Wacha against Garrett Cole. My goodness, we're going to get right into this game after What's Trending. But the stage that the Royals have for Bobby Witt Jr. Against Aaron Judge in particular, I mean, it doesn't get any better than this. I love the fact they're actually getting the Yankees. I really do. We've seen them play the Guardians enough.
Yeah.
They'll get a chance to play them or the Tigers if they win the series.
I actually kind of like it's the Yankees. That we are intimate with, of course, over the cross of the
season. I'm glad it's the Yankees. You know, they do have all the pressure.
Speaking of which, by the way, if you don't know the slate for the games tomorrow, it's 12:08 Kansas City time for Detroit and Cleveland, 3:08 for the Mets and Phillies, 17:38 military time for the Royals and Yankees, and of course Dodgers and Padres will pick things up at 7:38. Next up on What's Trending, Chiefs update. Rashee Rice, according to Albert Breer, will have his knee scoped early next week. We'll give you some indication of what damage they think they're worried about, both the ACL and PCL, according to Albert Breer. But until that swelling goes down and they get the knee looked at under a scope, they won't know the extent of the damage. Also, Mecole Hardman did not practice for the Chiefs today. Don't know what his official injury designation will be, but Kareem Hunt was a participant in practice today. Limited yesterday, might be limited today. We'll get the full update later on.
That's what's trending here on Cody and Gold. Coming up in 25 minutes, we're going to be joined by our Royals insider, Josh Fernier. He, of course, is getting you set for Royals and Yankees tomorrow night. He'll have his on-deck show prior to the start of tomorrow's game, so a 4:30 pregame right here on 96.5 The Fan. But let's get back right into the Royals and their game in particular, just how we're feeling about the matchup. Because I think we've all said it. I've heard Bob and Dusty talk about it. We said it a little bit yesterday. It doesn't guarantee anything, but the pressure factor is real when you're in New York. It just is. And the Royals are, to a certain extent, playing with house money. I know some people hate that phrase.
It's true, though.
But they lost, you know, 7 in a row down the stretch at
twice.
One point. Twice. They have an offense that still is not performing all that well, and yet they swept the Baltimore Orioles and now have an opportunity to come back to Kansas City on Wednesday for a Game 3 where hopefully it's at least a split.
Well, so that's what matters the most, is finding a way to get the split. And obviously starting pitching is going to be a huge part of the story of this series and of this game. But I don't think that that's unfair to say. The Royals won 56 games last year. There have only been three teams in Major League history who have even made the postseason after losing 100-plus baseball games. This is the lowest record anyone has ever had before making the postseason. So, okay, there's already a little bit of history. The other two teams who made it never won a postseason series. They're the first to do that gold. So they're already riding what is an absolute high. They weren't supposed to have Vinny back. Now they got Vinny back. And so if you look at the entirety of the picture, the New York Yankees have all the pressure on them. They have the highest, second highest payroll. I think it's the second highest payroll in baseball. They have the presumptive MVP in Aaron Judge. He's going to win it, right? They have all the big stars, all the big names. They're the New York Yankees. And so if you do that and you lose to the Royals, heads might roll. And they're in a, you know, the other part we don't talk about is the Royals have a little bit of question marks because you don't know if Waka will exercise his option. Other than that, the entire Royals team is kind of back next year, right? Good chunk. Huge chunk of the Royals roster is back. The Yankees, are they guaranteed to have Soto back?
Well, Aaron Boone's gone.
Boone's cooked.
He's definitely gone.
Is Juan Soto getting a new contract here? Are they going to pay again? Are they going to try to start fresh? They got other pitching free agents. Like, what's their, you know, what's their outlook if they don't go and take this? We talk about this as it relates to the Chiefs. The Yankees in this situation are essentially the Bills. They've played in a lot of important games, realistically, over the last 5 to 6 years in the American League. They haven't done squat with it.
You almost had yourself there. You
had close.
You caught yourself.
I don't think hit the hard S, but you know, the hard H. It was in. They
I
haven't
almost
done
reached
any.
My hand for the dumb button.
they haven't done anything with it. And so I've been starting to catch myself because my
kids
daughter,
are getting old enough, they're picking up on
it. Well, they're
more
not
more.
They're not repeating it, but I'll be two rooms away.
That's good.
And I'll drop a net bomb and my daughter will go, "Dad, I told you, you can't say those words anymore." Like,
what's your response?
I'm just always like, okay. I got to start a swear jar if I'm going to actually not cuss in front of them. I'm a little too loose in front of them. But so they haven't done anything with it, man. They're stuck in the same position as the Bills, so they have to feel desperate. Desperate. Yankees haven't won one in 15 years.
You know, though,
they've been close. Nothing.
The pressure is there because of this conversation, but I have seen a ton of media nationally, you know, talk about basically as if, you know, hey, if it's not happening this year, when is it going to happen? And they reacted that way as soon as the Royals won. And so I kind of took that personally, you know?
Yeah.
Because I saw that, like, well, this path, you know, the Astros are out of it.
You can't win when the Astros are going.
The Astros are out of it. It's the Royals instead of the Orioles and all that. That's why, you know, I do think the Yankees should be fearful, because that conversation is making it seem like, oh, it's just an easy path to the World Series for the New York Yankees. No, this is a Royals team that has starting pitching at an elite level throughout the season. It's a Royals team that suddenly has a bullpen playing at an elite level, not giving up a single run. We went through the numbers a day or two ago on the show.
One run in the last 27 innings or something?
Yeah, well, one run in almost 40.
40 innings.
And 15 hits during that from the bullpen. That's it. That's it. This bullpen is not the same bullpen as they were in May, June, July, early August. It is completely different. It's remarkable to see a team in season make the adjustment they did. There's only, what, two, three bullpen arms that are even the same from opening day? Like, everybody else either got hurt or they kind of ran them out.
I guess here's the other part is it's easy to say, like, if I ask this question, you'd be like, well, yeah, they're in the ALDS. But I want you to really think about it from a team perspective. If I said, is this the most confident you have ever been as the Royals as a team than at any point this year? I want you to think about it from a team perspective, because you're like, well, they're in the playoffs. And I mean, yeah, of course I am. But I mean, honestly, you're less confident probably now in the offense than you were 2 months ago. But you have got to be infinitely more confident in the bullpen than you were any single day the rest of the calendar year. And I still have some confidence now that the offense can return back to its normal form because their middle of the order hitter is back. Everything that they were missing, the offense was league average to slightly above league average up until the day Vinny Pasquantino got hurt, and then they were the worst offense in the league. I know they only scored two runs in the first three games, or first two games if Vinny was back, but Vinny was part of the reason they scored one of those runs. He had an RBI. He walked a couple of times. They pitched to Bobby twice because Vinny existed. Yep. The things they couldn't do to get runs before exist now because Vinny's in the order. And so this is the most confident I have ever been in the Royals team. It has nothing to do with the fact that they're still in the playoffs. And the actual play of the players is why. You the most confident? Is this maximum for you?
Yeah, I mean, it is, because there's always the worry that you get in the postseason, it's done so quick. Like it is for Baltimore. And you always wonder that. And this team, based off the offense, it really felt like that could have been a possibility. But how many times did we say in the postseason, the pitching, that's the beautiful thing, get in the dance because
and
of the pitching.
Yeah.
You build your team through defense and pitching. If you can actually get to the postseason, you automatically, to me, vault to one of the better teams in the postseason. That's why we were talking about the power rankings when the wild card round started, and Yahoo Sports and some other outlets had them as the 12th out of 12. That was kind of silly, you know, because of where the pitching has been. And the way this team ends up somehow going on a 2014-type run is requires the offense to get going as well. I believe that firmly. But they're in every game because of this pitching staff. And so that's why, yeah, I feel confident about it. You know, do I think it's going to be as smooth sailing every single game in this series where the bullpen's just going to be lights out? I don't know if they can do that every single game. This is still not HDH.
Sure.
But I also would like to think, well, maybe the bullpen, you know, is a little more human. Does the offense return to some form of average? Because let's be honest, they've been below average.
So if the bullpen gives up a couple of runs now versus
but is
the
offense a little bit better?
Does the offense score a couple more runs? Then again, equaling the playing field. And the Yankees have played, I don't know how many it is exactly for Aaron Judge. How much you want to bet he's played in like 25 playoff games, right? I mean, it's probably a lot, right? They've been in the playoffs almost every single year he's been in the big leagues. Aaron Judge is always a little bit older than you think. Sometimes we talk about Bobby Witt Jr. and Juan Soto and some of these other guys. And we mention Aaron Judge because we're talking about some of the best players in the game. But some of the best players in the game are quite a bit younger than Aaron Judge, who is in his 30s, has played in a lot of these games, but also hasn't, like, because offense comes at a premium, Gold. I wouldn't tell you that he's torn the cover off the ball. He has played in 44 postseason games, Aaron Judge. 44 postseason games. He has hit 211 with a 310 on base with 13 home runs in 44 games. So his home runs go down. His average goes down. His on-base percentage goes down. His strikeouts go up. The pitching is better. The competition is better. And you're not playing every game at Yankee freaking Stadium. And so once those things start to equalize, Aaron Judge hasn't been a monster in the postseason. Had he been, they probably would have a World Series in the last 5 years.
But that's why the pressure is there.
If he had just gone out of control, you know?
Yeah, that's why the pressure is there, though, for him. Because, you're the captain of the franchise, and you haven't got them to that point. And that's all you're judged on. And
now he's taking a week off.
Well, that's the hope. I think that only applies for, like, one game in the series, though. Like, I don't believe we
can. I think maybe two.
Okay.
But
so tomorrow night is the night where you catch them where hopefully the bats are cold. That's where tomorrow night is your opportunity. If the Royals are going to win another 2-1 game in the series, the only chance that's happening is tomorrow night where their bats are also a little cooled off. And Walker, I think Walker's ready for this moment. You mentioned some of the postseason numbers, but the lights are not going to be too bright. It's a very cliche thing, but true. Like, he is a vet that is pitched in the postseason. He doesn't care that's in the Bronx. Like, I'm not worried about that. And this team, if you were worried about any of the young guys come postseason time, you know, getting really nervous or whatever, the fact they already got two games under their belt in Baltimore, and while I know the atmosphere in New York is going to be way better than what it was in Baltimore, it's not going to be close. I think Bobby, any of the young guys, they're not going to be fazed by that moment. Heck, we've talked about the opposite. For someone like Michael Garcia, sometimes they thrive in those intense environments.
They do. And now, look, he did not have a good game two. He had a good game one, did not have a good game two. But that's also just part of the way it works. I'm with you back on the offense where I don't think they can win quite that way. But I do think they can win low-scoring games, Gold. Not 1-0, not 2-1, but I think they can win 4-3, 3-2. I mean, those are low-scoring baseball games by standard. What's the over-under for tomorrow's game?
Yeah, I was trying to pull up some odds for that, and you take a look at the Royals game. They're dogs, probably not surprised, plus 172. Over-under,
that's come down, by the
seven
way.
And
plus
a half.
Yesterday.
7.5, minus 122 is over 7.5 total runs for the game. Some of the trends for this, I think I mentioned a few yesterday, but game one home favorites, which the Yankees are in the divisional round, are 30-17 straight up, but last year just 1-3. Some other things, teams playing as an underdog like the Royals in a postseason series after their bullpen was used for five or more innings. And the same series prior are just 28-47 since 2016. The only reason why I push back on that trend a little bit, not just because we're in Kansas City, but is that
two full days off,
and it wasn't like the bullpen was taxed. Like it was a planned approach. Like that was part of the strategy. Like that was part of the strategy. They used five different guys. It wasn't five innings strictly from two or three guys.
it also implies starting pitching. Yeah. And that's not what the Royals have traditionally gotten. It's just as likely Walker goes seven tomorrow as he goes three. Like, it just is. That's historically what they've been this season, and we got a lot of evidence to support that. So there's no reason to start shifting to the other narrative just because there's the one step. I got a lot of stats on the good and the bad, right? I gave you the Waka ones earlier, make you feel bad. Give you the stats of the guys against Waka, Lugo, and Reagans in the Yankees lineup, makes you feel good. That stat makes you feel bad. You know, like, it's so many that baseball's old, really old. So it's easy to look through history and find things that both kind of skew this either way.
Coming up in 15 minutes, we'll be joined by Josh Fernier, our Royals insider. He'll get us set for this game tomorrow night right here on 96.5 The Fan. Reminder, right at Community America Credit Union's Red Friday tailgate. From 11 to 1, the tailgate goes on. We're here until 2 o'clock if you just want to come by and say hello. But the tailgate actually has another 45 minutes still. Plenty of time during your lunch break to come on out to 135th and Black Bob. It's the Olathe branch for Community America. Free lunch. You can take some photos with the Chiefs cheerleaders and Casey Wolf. They've got some Chiefs swag and still an opportunity to win tickets to Monday night's game against the Saints. But before we get to Vern in 15, let's get to all 32. And I want to start with last night a little bit. We saw Kirko? Thursday night football. What a finish. What a great game. Really was. Falcons.
Missed the face mask or the game would have been over.
It would have. See, it turns out
rigged for the Chiefs.
Officials make mistakes for everybody, huh? No, they wanted the Falcons to win. No, it was a walk-off touchdown. It was really fun to see. But Kirk Cousins threw for over 500 yards. Kirk Cousins
he's on my fantasy
looks.
Oh, that's tough.
I had Darnell
Dude, Mooney. I got Kyler Murray. He's been really good in fantasy.
Make you feel better. I had Darnell Mooney on my fantasy football bench for 31 points. Thank you very much. And then Khalil Shakir is ruled out, so I would have swapped him, but he wasn't ruled out until an hour or two ago. So
rough.
That part's a bummer. But no, I want to talk about Kirk Cousins a little bit because he looks like Kirk Cousins again. Comeback player of the year, definitely in play. He's 4-1 right now. I once again had two people yesterday say I look like Kirk Cousins. Maybe that's why I'm even more biased about Kirk Cousins. I don't know. The MVP is still in play as well. Nobody's running away with it. I'm just telling you, Kirk Cousins, the concerns about the Achilles, I don't have him anymore. I think he has shown the last two games. He's further along in his rehab and all that, and now it's showing in production. You don't throw for over 500 yards, and we can't just sit here and be like, you know, I still need to see more. No. He threw for over 500 yards against a good Bucs team. With, by the way, Darnell Mooney, the number two, and Drake London having massive games, and still not a great performance from Robinson as they lean on Tyler Allgeier. So Kirk Cousins.
Kyle Pitts played well, too.
Kyle Pitts did have all the heat on him. He had a nice game. Well, give him some props. That's true.
But that's what's so funny about like the way Kirk Cousins played is he has done it largely without Bijan Robinson. Tyler Allgeier didn't get a ton of touches. That was probably the best game Kyle Pitts has played all year, though. Before that, he was doing it without him, too. I'm going to stick with quarterback as well. I want to ask an off-season question to these NFL teams. Why don't one of them just let Joe Flacco start for them for the beginning of the year? It's worked with Baker Mayfield. It's worked with Sam Darnold. Joe Flacco is legitimately the better starting quarterback of every team he's the backup for. And they just run him out of town because they're like, well, he's going to make Deshaun Watson look bad, so we can't be having that, you know? Just let him start for your team. If you're stuck in no man's land, as in you just took a rookie quarterback and you want him to sit for a year, let's say if you were the Falcons, you could have just signed Joe Flacco for nothing and started him for a year.
See, this is my issue.
What are you doing?
We just got done.
If you're stuck in no man's land, you're not going to draft a quarterback. Just let Joe Flacco be the starter from day one. He's better than like eight starters in this league.
You had me till you made
the Falcons reference.
The Falcons reference. You had me because you're right.
I'm just because they were going to draft a
Joe Flacco. Is backing up Anthony Richardson, who was drafted high, long-term, higher ceiling and all that. He was sitting behind Deshaun Watson because they gave him the big contract, even though it's a terrible contract.
That's really
Atlanta, come on now. You're saying this after Kirk Cousins just my whole point of my All-32 is that very
thing. Hold on.
Stop discounting him.
I'm not discounting
Stop
Kirk
discounting
Cousins.
Him.
My point was, if you knew you were going to draft a quarterback but you didn't want to start him right away, good old reliable Joe Flacco is better than like 8-9 starters in this league.
Yeah.
Every time he's backing someone up, he comes in. He'd be better than Bryce Young. He'd be better than Andy Dalton. He's better than Deshaun Watson. He's better than Anthony Richardson.
Well, Andy Dalton's
he's
a backup
better starters.
Too. I mean, Andy Dalton's a backup.
Well, Andy Dalton should have started for the Panthers too for last year.
But they drafted Bryce Young. Of course they were going to start
him,
even if he stinks. Drew, what do you got for all 32?
Surprise, surprise. Aaron Rodgers is included in this one. We're going to stick to the quarterback.
Happy you went outside of Cincy, I'll be honest.
Has it been a little too much
Cincy? I have done a very good job at avoiding Cincinnati for the all 32s.
They got that big win against Panthers?
Yeah, that's right.
And I did not watch, so it almost is tempting for me not to watch this weekend. So mine is they're on the brink of a complete disaster. So I know that Aaron Rodgers is kind of struggling a little bit, but it's about Aaron, but it also is about Robert Saleh. So after the game this past weekend, Robert Saleh had comments about dialing back the cadence that Aaron Rodgers has. And Aaron Rodgers said, quote, that's one way to do it. The other way is to hold them accountable. And that
he said that on Pat McAfee. Look,
I don't understand why. I get why people are like the Jets, but it just seems like it's a disaster, and Robert Saleh is part of the problem. I know that you've questioned him, Golden, just in terms of his coaching ability in general, but it just seems like it's New York. There's pressure. You're on the brink of having a disastrous season, and it's not related to injury. It's more camaraderie within the group.
They're only two wins. Do you know who their wins are against? They're 2-2. Their wins are against Tennessee and New England.
Yeah. I agree with you. I agree with you, Drew, that it's a big swing in the next week or so because it could get really ugly there for Robert Saleh with Aaron Rodgers running the show. It's why a lot of people believe that they almost have to go trade for Devontae
Saleh
Adams.
Also laughed off pressure.
They do not get along. Aaron Rodgers, even though this was happening at the end of Green Bay, is not a good teammate. Instead of ever trying to help a teammate, he's always like, shut up, stupid. Do it the way I'm doing it and do it better. Which is not the way to approach being a teammate. Their remaining schedule, by the way, over the next month and a half, they go Minnesota, then Buffalo, then at Pittsburgh, then they get New England, at Houston, at Arizona. Like, I mean, they're fried. That team's not making the postseason.
Guys, this is the leverage the Raiders have. I think they have to trade for Devontae Adams.
And they should do it now.
I think they
now.
Have to do that, considering everything where you're bringing up. And Garrett Wilson, who I think is very, very
talented, is a stud.
Yeah. But he doesn't have the rapport still.
No.
With Rodgers, that's a problem. We know Rodgers and Devontae Adams had that, and maybe they can pick that back up right away. I think the Jets' only chance of salvaging this thing is trading for Devontae Adams, even if it takes a second-round pick.
I do think, in looking back at it, when the Packers were drafting like Dontavian Wicks and Jaden Reed, Aaron was having a problem with getting along with the guys. Jordan Love comes in, and they look really good with the same group of wide receivers. Garrett Wilson and him can't get on the same page. Aaron Rodgers wants his guy back, but it's the same sort of thing where he just can't get on the same page as the wide receivers, and other quarterbacks can, and that sounds like it's more of a quarterback problem than it is anything else.
I also think that he's suffering from what I would call Bill Belichick assistant coach syndrome. When you were the guy in Green Bay, right, you were the man, you were winning a Super Bowl, you were putting up all these stats, you were winning MVPs, you can bully people around. You can force them to your way of thinking. You're in a new city and you've done jack squat for them. So, like, if you're in that situation, you can't just bully everyone around. And Saleh and him obviously do not get along, right? Do we all agree to that?
They said that they're friends,
Rodgers is in charge.
Rodgers is in charge of that team. That's
which
what
is a weird position.
He runs the show there. They're all going to lose their job if they don't turn this thing around. Every single one of them will be gone next season. That's the pressure they're feeling. And it's in New York. Yeah, Drew, it's in New York, which is adds to everything that is going on there. That's all 32 in the NFL. Up next, though, let's get right back to the Royals, who have an American League Divisional Series tomorrow night right here on 96.5 The Fan, and a man that's going to get you set for it not only right now in about 5 minutes, but is going to be tomorrow on his On Deck show is Josh Vernier. Let's welcome in Josh Vernier on the other side. I want to ask him about the offense again and also what he makes of just kind of the national noise around this series and the matchup that exists there. That's next on Cody and
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Gold. Back here on Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Cody Tapp with you. We are live out in Olathe at Community America Credit Union's Olathe branch, 135th and Black Bob for the Red Friday tailgate. You still have a half hour to get out of here for the tailgate, some free lunch. You got the Chiefs cheerleaders. Casey Wolf is out here, a chance to win some Chiefs swag and some Chiefs Saints Monday night football tickets. We're having a great time on a Red Friday. Might as well be a Blue Friday in Kansas City as well. And that's where we go out to the hotline and welcome in our guy, Josh Vernier, our Royals insider. He had a Royals special on the station last night. Hopefully you caught some of that, Vern. How are you feeling, like, just in terms of the are the nerves there yet? Is it a confidence aspect to you right now? Where are you at with this Royals team?
I mean, it's all I think about. First thing in the morning, it's what I'm grinding my teeth about while I'm sleeping. It's the reason why I wake up with a headache.
Sure.
But I'm excited, man. This is exactly what I wanted to be doing in October rather than sitting around feeling absolutely worthless. No, I think you should feel confident, to be quite honest. I can't say I'm surprised that the Royals are the biggest divisional dog. heading into New York. But I don't think there's enough evidence as to why, other than the pinstripes and the New York logo and Aaron Judge, other than those things, I don't see a stark advantage for the Yanks. You know, bullpens might be a push. If they want to say the starters are a push, that you're going to see the good Carlos Rodon and a good Marcus Stroman, okay, I'll go along with that. It's a push. Yes, the Yankees get the edge offensively, but the Royals get the edge defensively. The Royals get the edge on the base paths, and come October, yeah, I would love to think that it's going to be, you know, Aaron Judge and Bobby Witt Jr., and it's just a slugfest, but that just doesn't happen all that much, especially when Garrett Cole and Michael Wacha and Cole Reagans are on the hill. To me, it's going to come down to the same thing that it came down to against Baltimore. Who can execute? You know, obviously your stars got to be stars. Judge and Soto, Bobby and Salvi, they got to drive in that run when it's in scoring position. But outside of that, is Gleyber Torres going to be able to execute in a big spot? Can Kyle Isbell get that bunt down? Will Micah Massey run into an extra base hit? You know, what do they get from Anthony Volpe? For as much as we focus on the stars, the complementary pieces got to execute. And boy, did they ever do that against the Baltimore Orioles, and I have no reason to believe that they'll fall short of doing that against the Yanks.
Vern, now that we have the power of hindsight, like you look at the Royals' record and you say, well, you know, the Yankees were better a good chunk of the year, the Orioles were better a good chunk of the year, they had better records, got off to better starts, whatever. Shouldn't we go back and realize that every single member of the AL Central was battle-tested except for when they got to have bye weeks against the White Sox? Three of these teams are in the divisional round. Maybe nobody faced a harder schedule than the Royals, Guardians, and Tigers as a result of that. And they might just be more equipped to handle beating good teams now that we know what all these teams are, because the Twins barely missed the postseason too.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, you could certainly make that case. To me, it's more of the flukiness of October.
Sure.
Houston's a better team than Detroit. I'm sorry. Yeah, they're on a heater right now, and A.J. Hinch cannot make a bad move when he goes to that bullpen. It's amazing what they're doing with one starting pitcher and then, you know, 13 relievers. It's amazing what Detroit's doing, but Houston's the better team, and they got knocked out of the postseason. Milwaukee, to me, is a better team than the New York Mets, but apparently Kevin Williams was tipping his pitches last night, and Pete Alonso was ready for it and gave us one of the best moments of October. Listen, was the American League Central a lot better than anybody thought going into the season? No doubt about it. But I think the American League Central, save Minnesota, was at its best in September, and that's carried into October.
Just a two-game series ultimately in Baltimore, so we didn't see Brady Singer. Obviously, he's available in the bullpen for this series. If all goes well, we shouldn't see Brady Singer in this series either, right?
No, the way that it lines up, you could really follow the formula that you saw in Baltimore outside of Michael Wacha getting a start in Game 1 and maybe again in Game 4. But yeah, Wacha, Reagans, Lugo, Wacha again, and then if needed, a Game 5 start for Cole Reagans. Yeah, the Royals lucked out in, you know, day off on Sunday, day off on Tuesday, could be another day off on Friday. Brady Singer, Michael Lorenzen, Daniel Lynch. I asked Annie Rogers as she was on the show last night, of those three relievers that we didn't see in the first round of the postseason, who do you think this coaching staff has the most faith in? Who do they go to first? And you know, Brady Singer was not the first name. It's a battle between Daniel Lynch and Michael Lorenzen, in my opinion, of who's going to get that call out of the bullpen. Speaking of Annie, I was just listening to Bobby Witt Jr.'s press conference, and he acknowledges, you know, I've been watching Derek Jeter highlights, and we talked about it yesterday, just how much of a storybook start to his postseason and how Bobby's October debut mirrors what we saw from Derek Jeter back in 1996.
That's Cody's favorite player, too.
Bobby said he was watching highlights of Jeter on the train to New York yesterday, just so he could get a feel of what it's going to be like to be in the house that Jeter built.
You know what? Bobby Witt Jr. is what Yankees fans thought Derek Jeter was. you know? Far more talented, Vern. Significantly more talented than Derek Jeter, you know? So I'm one day, Derek Jeter can watch Bobby Witt Jr. highlights and understand
how one of those bums with 3,000 hits.
Yeah. Thank you, Vern. Thank you.
When you look at where how short the leash is, you mentioned Waka. Vern, I pulled it up. I think I had just been casually saying, like, hey, Waka's a playoff member. He knows what it's like to be in winning organizations. And all that stuff is very true in the regular season. He has not pitched good in the postseason since 2013. Man, that was a long time ago. His last few trips around the postseason have been kind of ugly, Vern. Do you think the leash will be kind of short for Waka, knowing that he does have Daniel Lynch, knowing that he does have Lorenzen, and a fully healthy complementary bullpen?
Yeah, of course. But even the ugly outings, that's not necessarily recent either, right? You got to go back 4 years for that, correct? Isn't that Tampa?
He had one in 2022 that he got roughed up for six earned runs, and then the other one was older, Vern.
Still, you throw on top of all of that, which, you know, no arguing, okay, 2 years ago isn't 8 years ago, so it's somewhat recent. Yeah. But let's also acknowledge Michael Waka just put together the best season he's had since 2015, 2017. Implements a slider courtesy of this new pitching department that the Royals have. Yes, they're gonna have a short leash on Michael Waka for the same reason they had a short leash on Seth Lugo in Game 2 against Baltimore, because this is the postseason, and now suddenly your bullpen is quality. I don't know if we want to call it a strength, but it's certainly not the bullpen that we were deathly afraid of in the first half of the season.
We're talking to our Royals insider Josh Fernier here on 96.5 The Fan. I know we got tomorrow. I know we got Monday. Wednesday's a long ways from now. But that's what I can't wait for, is to get to Wednesday. We were all there in 14 and 15 in variety of fashions, either as a fan or you were obviously our Royals insider at the time as well. That's what I can't wait for, Vern. And unlike Baltimore, where we saw $16 tickets and the atmosphere didn't seem all that great, I know it's the complete opposite for Kansas City on Wednesday.
I'm certainly expecting it, but...
Have you seen ticket pricing, man? It's crazy.
Is it? Okay, no, I haven't.
Cheapest ticket. 220 in the door?
Yeah.
Nice. Well, good. Well, it you know, let's hope it's all Royals fans, too. You know, there are plenty of fake Yankees fans in Overland Park that I'm sure are going to make the drive.
Yep.
So we'll see. You know, yeah.
Vern, speaking of which, you know, the last time you and I were at the same station during a World Series run, I ran all seven games for you of the World Series. I want to actually go to a game this year.
Oh, I thought you were volunteering.
No, I sat in the studio on that 13-inch TV during all seven games of 2014. I'm excited about the possibility of seeing it for real.
Yeah, that doesn't seem fair for someone that went to as many awful Royals games as you went to back in the day.
Many.
No, it seems like those roles should have been flipped.
I used to take the bus to go watch Ronelvis Hernandez throw, you know, get Scott Ellerton on an opening day, Vern. That's why.
Well, let me ask you guys this.
Go ahead.
As you guys are out and about, how much blue are you seeing? Even though I understand it's a Red Friday rally, how much blue are you seeing sneak in there? Because you guys remember 14 and 15, it was dominating.
Plenty. Plenty. Yeah. And we're at a Red Friday tailgate for a Chiefs event where you can win Chiefs tickets and win Chiefs gear. And there are people here that is rolling up in all blue.
I'm starting to see it.
The Chiefs shirt and the Royals hat, right? Where you're not going out not repping somebody.
Right. Yeah, I'm starting to see that as well. Starting to get the feel that when you walk outside, when I take my dog for a walk, that the neighbor's thinking about the Royals as well. You're starting to, and yes, Wednesday morning, I can't wait for that feeling that, you know, you have to be of a certain age to remember, but Wednesday morning when you walk outside, it will be a little bit bluer. Like, you'll feel the anticipation for Game 3 just coming out of the sky. I'm getting chills already thinking about it. There's nothing like that feeling of everyone in the area knows who's pitching, what time first pitch is, where the series stands, and who needs to pick it up. Nothing better than that.
Vern, if you had to guess right now, how big of a win would you say it is if they're playing a game at Kauffman on Wednesday, tied at 1-1? How big of a win is just a split?
What do you mean by that?
He means
if the series is
1-1.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, huge. I mean, listen, the amount of pressure that is already going to be on, and we've talked about this, on every at-bat that Aaron Judge has, every Juan Soto at-bat, every single thing that they do offensively, defensively, on the base paths is going to be a referendum on their entire career. Okay, maybe not Soto as much because he already has a ring in his back pocket, but Aaron Judge and Aaron Boone, every single game is a referendum on their entire legacy. If the Royals can go into Yankee Stadium and grab game one, can grab game two, can grab either one of them, the collective baseball fandom, right, the baseball country will then only have a magnifying glass on that Yankees middle of the lineup, on that, you know, Marcus Stroman start or Clark Schmidt or whoever they go to. Now, the pressure's already all on New York. But if the Royals can go to the Bronx and steal one, man, a team that is already oozing with confidence will have an extra bounce in their step. And then, you know, it seems to me that they're turning into the killers that the Royals turned into back in 2014. If they can take one in New York, I think this fan base will start to get their fangs out. And then ready to feast on the Yankees coming up on Wednesday.
And in particular, if the offense on Saturday night, if the offense were to break out in a win, I think then I don't know how I can't think it's 2014 all over again at that point in time. It requires the offense to me to break out for me to think that after one game, but that's kind of where I'm at. But I think just winning that Baltimore series, anybody that was still skeptical about jumping on this ride, I think those guys are all gone. They're all on board now.
Yeah, you would certainly think so. And the people that aren't, to me, just can't be knowledgeable baseball fans, right? Because they're the ones saying, well, you're not hitting home runs. Well, you're winning a game in the postseason, right, and that's all that matters. Pitching, defense, and team speed has been at the center of this team all season. It was at the core of those two victories to go along with some high execution from your young core in the lineup. Yeah. No reason not to be all in on this team. No reason that, and I mentioned it the other night, and some people were displeased by it. But I really, I do think Kansas City fans need to get a touch bit more arrogant. Almost Ooh. Like an annoying arrogant, to where the Cody and Gold and other cities are talking about how much they hate Kansas City. Bobby Witt Jr., Patrick Mahomes, we could go on to the front offices, to the ownership groups, to the, you know, the Robins, to the Batmans, and Salvi and Travis Kelce. Man, the chest needs to be out. And just pick your phone up and talk trash to one friend. That should be the task of the day.
Let me send a text to a Yankees fan right now. It's everybody, if you have a Yankee fan in your phone, just send a text right now. I'm also told to ask you, Vern, since you are
my Yankees fan, by the way, lives in Wisconsin because nobody's really from New York that's a Yankees fan. But I'll text him right now.
I was going to say, do you know the start time for Wednesday? You know, everybody's asking us. We don't know.
I'm begging, man. I want to know.
I would imagine the Yankees are going to be on at night. So that's I would imagine it's the, right, the 6:30
game. Or something. Yeah. 6:30.
Yeah. They're not going to put the Yankees as game. First of all, I don't know the if all four teams are going to play on Wednesday. I would guess not. But either way, the Yankees are going to be in prime time.
All right, Vern, we'll let you get a little bit of rest, man. Cannot wait for this weekend.
He's not going to sleep before Saturday.
No.
Get a little nap in this afternoon.
Sleep.
Get a little nap in this afternoon.
I'm not eating enough either.
Well, that's
drinking too much, and I'm not eating enough.
Oh, boy. That's a tough start for your weekend. You'll get a game tomorrow. You'll be all right.
All right. Vern. That's our Royals insider, Josh Vern. You'll be listening tomorrow, his on-deck show an hour before first pitch. So his on-deck show's at 16:38 military time. The first pitch is at 17:38 military time, as Vern pointed out to all of us.
This is why I've joked before, and, like, we talked about the city of Baltimore must hate us, but it was probably like a month ago, 2 months ago, we did a segment on our show that it must suck to be other cities and just want for a player like Bobby Witt Jr. Oh, God, please, I wish we had a player like Bobby Witt Jr. What it must be like to have a player like Patrick Mahomes and the rings and the trophies. I think he's right in the sense that, do you remember that run that Boston went on? And I was like, I am so sick of your ass.
Yeah, that's
the
what
Bruins
happened here.
Were winning titles. The Celtics were winning. The Patriots were winning. I'm like, I can't watch you anymore. I'm so tired of it. I do want people to feel that way about Kansas City. And if they win the World Series this year, they will. For 10 years, they'd have two World Series titles and three Super Bowl titles with four appearances in the Super Bowl and three appearances in the World Series. They would be sick of our ass. And good. I hope so.
Yeah, it definitely is fun because we all know someone that's a Yankees fan, and they're also a fan of an AFC team, you know, whether it's the Jets, I don't know. But,
yeah.
You know, I mean, from my experience, there's one person.
It's always the Cowboys, dude. Are you kidding?
They're Cowboys
it's
or
always,
whatever.
If they're a Yankees fan and Vern's joking in South Johnson County, they're also Cowboys fans.
And give Duke up. Fans and Lakers fans.
And Duke fans and Lakers fans.
Oh, trust
fans.
Me. The high school I went to, which was in the same city we are currently doing our show from, as in Olathe currently, there were plenty of Duke and Yankee and Cowboy fans.
It's crazy.
Lots, right?
Crazy.
Yeah. Now, the good news is, if this continues, there's going to be people in other cities be like, you just grew up a Chiefs fan because of Mahomes. Be like, yeah, I did. So what?
Oh, dude, that's
going to be the new Cowboys fan. You can Patrick Mahomes.
Well, that's already happened, I think. Now, the Royals in it is going to take a lot of success for that to change, but because it's such a regional sport. But in the NFL, oh yeah, there are Chiefs fans in that are growing up. And all they know is the Chiefs, and that's the team that they will root for the rest of their life, the same way Steelers fans, Cowboys fans, Patriots fans during the Tom Brady era. That, I have no doubt, that has already continued, or already happened, and it will continue. Reminder, we're broadcasting here out at Community America Credit Union in Olathe, 135th and Black Bob for the Red Friday tailgate. You got about 10 more minutes to come out here and have a chance to win some Monday Night Football tickets, pick up some Chiefs swag. We'll be broadcasting till 2 o'clock if you want to come by, say hello. We have a few random Cody and Gold T-shirts with us as well. These come from the Cody back of car collection.
Yeah, that's correct.
Trunk of car
these
collection.
There are some smalls and mediums in there. They were probably like the unselected T-shirts of that group. But there are also, I think, a large and maybe at least an extra large or two in there as well. So there's also the vibes are good from our friends over at Rego.
Oh, the vibes are definitely
vibes are great.
Definitely good on a Red Friday and really a Blue Friday in Kansas City. Drew, let's get to the random question of the day.
Random question.
For you, Gold, for you, Drew, over on the text line, 913-586-7965. I'm actually going to sit back down so I can look at the text line for the answers. We'll also take your answers over on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook. We live stream and interact with you over there, so like and subscribe to our channels at thefan965.com. We're at a bank, so obviously I'm going to make mine bank-related, not what you think.
Boy,
hold on.
Oh
not what you think. I'm not trying to get us in trouble today. Mm-hmm. I know I have made some suggestions or piece of
He's
advice.
He's not allowed
to
inside. Well, that's why we're outside. He's not allowed inside.
I haven't stepped inside the bank, so I'm not going to make about that. What I want to know is, because banks, we know this. Traditionally, you open a checking account, you get a free promotional item. I want to know, what is the free promotional item you've gotten from anywhere that has been the best of your life? I got a water bottle from the Super Bowl Miami I still use. Mm-hmm. Good lid. Good snap close, magnetic close, says Miami on it with the Super Bowl logo. That's way up there. I got a toaster once that I used for a while in the early toaster.
Where did you get a toaster?
Oh, this was like high school.
Well, were you
this
with like were you chain smoking at a casino and got a free toaster as a giveaway?
That used to be a giveaway from banks.
Oh, man.
Yeah. So mine's not from a bank. The promotion I love.
It can be from anyone.
You know what promotion I love from my bank? Open a checking account and I got a $300 credit down the road. That's
Ooh.
What I like. That's the promotion. That's the promotion I like. No, for me the answer is going back to the Royals promotions from way back in the day. That Billy Butler at the time.
Man, you've got some use out of that thing.
What would that be? FSKC, I guess.
Yeah.
FSKC powder blue jersey. That was one of the best promo items, and that thing held up. It's still in my closet. I haven't worn it because it's a Billy Butler jersey, and so I haven't worn it in a long time. But that thing has held up through many washer and dryer cycles. That would be my answer.
Someone said the exact same one, apparently. That Billy Butler jersey giveaway
held up.
Has really lasted for a while for you guys.
It held up, man. It was a
very
popular
giveaway
item.
Hats are never very good. They're always like not good enough quality.
Cheaper,
I don't feel
cheaper.
Like I ever get like a good quality hat as a giveaway. I have used – so like the most recent one that I feel like I'm going to get some use out of, when we were at the K for the hot dog race most recently with my family, they were giving away like car blankets, right? The picnic ones, kind of thick. Not one you'd cover yourself with, but you lay down on the grass.
Yeah,
I'm like
boy,
I'm going to throw this thing in the back of the car. It is going to be the car blanket moving forward. We're outside. We're in some grass. Kids are running around. You need a blanket for the ground? That thing's going to have some run. We'll take your answers, 913-586-7965. Someone said a pizza cutter from State Farm 12 years ago. Still works great, says Joe in Gladstone.
You see this?
I will say, I got a free Cutco knife for, like, sitting through one of those demonstrations once. Still in the knife
you
drawer.
You sat through
Doesn't,
a demo? Hold on.
It was a friend.
You sat
It was for
through,
a friend, dude.
You sat
For your
friends,
you gotta sit through
demo for a knife?
You know, they cut through the penny with the scissors.
Yes.
They did the whole thing.
Well, if anybody has a timeshare to sell, Cody will sit through that six-hour presentation, too.
It was for a friend. Are you a bad friend? You will do things for your friends?
I'll maybe buy an item that they are selling or something like that, but I'm not sitting through a 6-hour presentation.
Practice, you know? It wasn't 6 hours. It was like 20 minutes. I don't okay. know. 30 okay. minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Still
mm-hmm.
got that one night.
Someone, this one's wild. Someone says they got a free Gillette Sensor XL razor in the mail when they were 16. They're going to be 45 this month. They've been using that razor for 29 years, just changing out the the cartridges, just new cartridges every month or whatever.
I mean, I don't think anyone's going to beat that today. 30 years off a promotional item?
That's wild.
Dude, that's nuts.
I'm bad about that with razors. They probably would last a lot longer than I let them, but I'm bad about that. I know you can replace the cartridges, and I do, but I'm bad about every, I don't know, 6 months, I feel like I need a new one, which is probably, and it's not an expensive razor, but still.
I just get like, I've been using the same, I guess, handle for a while.
That's what the person's talking about. Yeah, not the same. There's no way the same cartridge.
Your face would just feel like an absolute.
Also, that's also like not healthy. It's like dirty. In my
opinion. I'll say the one that I didn't last, only lasted one day, but really meant a lot to me at the time was, do you guys remember that really like frigidly cold Chiefs games against Miami? One of the coldest games in Chiefs history.
The one that just happened? Yeah.
No. Like 15 years ago. With Tyler Thigpen starting, right? It was so cold. The car we drove out there died. It was so cold, that Miami game. And someone was walking around giving away free T-shirts for, like, you know, giving them, like, your email or whatever, Gold. And I put that thing as, like, a mask to cover my face tucked into your hoodie. Never regretted it. Whatever you need in order to get this free T-shirt, I'd have given away my Social Security number to stay warmer that day. It was so cold. That one was a pretty good one. What's your answer, Drew?
Mine is Pacers giveaway. There was I don't have the shirt anymore, but they had some really good ones when I was a little kid. We would go like for playoff games. They like have a gold out or whatever the case is, and they give everybody Pacers shirts, and that got some good usage from myself.
This actually feels perfect for you. You're always talking about how the NFL needs whiteouts and stuff.
Oh, the NBA
feels like
great.
You're a big promo guy.
100%. That is what we – anytime – if we were going to go to a Reds game growing up, had to be on a promo. If we went to a Pacers
promo
game, let's check out the promos that are going on and find a good promo day. Yes, 100%.
So that is the random question of the day. We still have another hour out here at Community America Credit Union. We'll be hanging out till 2 o'clock, even if the tailgate is winding down. Our friend Joel Goldberg is going to stop by and join us here to talk all things Royals throughout the 1 o'clock hour on 96.5 The Fan.